Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25. Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
This episode discusses domestic violence, murder, acts of desecration following death, and has profanity. It is intended for mature audiences and may be disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. G'day to all my Aussie listeners. There are heaps of you tuning in from down under, and tonight's story is one straight from your backyard, just for you. The upcoming American holiday season brings thoughts of shared meals and family gatherings. Yet, it also invites reflection on the hidden struggles some endure behind closed doors. This is the story of a relationship marred by profound instability, where one partner's actions escalated to murder, and in a further act of calculated cruelty, she prepared to serve the victim's remains to his own children at the family dinner table. It serves as a solemn reminder of the dangers of untreated mental illness and the tragic outcomes of unchecked volatility. In the tight-knit mining community of Aberdeen, Australia, John Price was a devoted father and respected friend who sought only a quiet, stable life. On March 1st, 2000, events unfolded in his home that would devastate the town and etch Catherine Knight's name into the annals of Australia's most infamous cases. Tonight, we examine a tragedy rooted in warning signs that went unheeded, culminating in profound and lasting loss. Before we slip into tonight's tale, I want to take a moment to thank you, our listeners, for being here with us in the dark. If you're loving true crime sleep stories, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. It helps us reach more listeners and keep these haunting tales coming your way. And if you'd like to go a step further, you can become a Patreon member at patreon.com/KellyBrink. There, you'll get ad-free episodes and exclusive bonus content to feed your true crime curiosity. Now, we're going to hear briefly from our sponsors before we dive into your uninterrupted story for tonight. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to True Crime Sleep Stories. Now, settle in and get comfy because I'm going to tell you a story. Picture yourself in a darkened room, the only light a faint sliver of moon slipping through the curtains. Outside, the Australian night is still, insects humming like a distant warning. Inside, the air is thick with the scent of iron and something else. Let your eyelids grow heavy as we step into the shadows of Aberdeen, New South Wales, in the year 2000. Aberdeen is a quiet dot on the map, a coal-dusted town where everyone knows everyone's business. In February 2000, John Charles Thomas Price, known to mates as Pricey, was 44, a father of three, and a miner with a laugh that could fill a pub. He lived in a modest weatherboard house on St. Andrew's Street, the kind of place where kids rode bikes until the streetlights flickered on. Pricey was well-liked, solid, dependable, the sort of man who'd shout around and never let a mate walk home alone. But behind his front door, a storm had been brewing for years, and its name was Catherine Mary Knight. Catherine was born on October 24, 1955, in Tenterfield, under a cloud of scandal. Her mother, Barbara Rohan, had left her first husband for Ken Knight, a co-worker with a violent streak and a bottle always close at hand. The affair forced the family to flee to Moree, then back to Aberdeen, where whispers followed them like dust. Ken raped Barbara up to 10 times a day, and Barbara, bitter and broken, shared every graphic detail with her daughters. Catherine, one of twin girls, grew up in a house where love was a foreign language and violence was the dialect. School offered no refuge. At Muswell Brook High, Catherine was two people, the model student who earned certificates for good behavior and the bully who'd slam a smaller kid against a wall for looking at her wrong. She left at 15, illiterate, and took a job cutting cloth, but fabric wasn't her calling. The local abattoir, the slaughterhouse where animals are processed for meat, was. There, Catherine found her element. She started with offal, graduated to boning, and was soon the best knife in the shed. The bosses gave her a set of butcher's knives, sharp, gleaming, and hers. She hung them above her bed like trophies, a warning to anyone who might cross her in her sleep. Her first marriage was to David Kellett, a railway man with a drinking problem and a soft spot for trouble. They met in 1973, married in 74, and arrived at the ceremony on a motorcycle, Kellett drunk on the back. Barbara, her mother, pulled him aside. "Stir her up the wrong way and you're fucked. She'll kill you." That night, after three rounds of sex, Kellett passed out. He woke to Catherine's hands around his throat. It wasn't the last time. Once, pregnant and raging, she burned his clothes and cracked his skull with a frying pan because he was late from a night playing darts. Another time, she held a knife to his neck and laughed at how easy it would be to kill him. In 1976, after their daughter Melissa was born, Kellett fled to Queensland. Catherine's response? She left two-month-old Melissa on railway tracks, stole an axe, and took a woman hostage at knife point. Police tackled her with broomsticks. She spent time in psychiatric wards, but always signed herself out. David Saunders came next, a miner with a dingo pup. Catherine slit the pup's throat in front of him to prove a point, then knocked him out with a frying pan. She decorated their house with animal skulls and rusted traps, a shrine to her temper. When Saunders finally hid from her, she took out a restraining order against him. John Chillingworth lasted 3 years and fathered a son, Eric, before Catherine's affair with John Price ended it. Price knew her reputation. Everyone did, but his kids liked her, and he was making good money in the mines. They moved in together in 1995. At first, it was roses. Then came the fights. In 1998, Catherine videotaped old medical kits Price had scavenged from work and sent the tape to his boss. 17 years on the job, gone. Price kicked her out. Months later, he took her back, but not into his house. The violence escalated. she stabbed him in the chest in February 2000. He took out a restraining order. On February 28th, he told co-workers, "If I don't show up tomorrow, she's killed me." They begged him not to go home. He went anyway, terrified she'd hurt his kids. That night, Price had a beer with neighbors, checked that his children were at a sleepover, and went to bed around 11 p.m. Catherine had been busy. She'd bought black lingerie, videotaped her kids with cryptic comments, and waited. She slipped in, watched TV, showered, and woke Price for sex. He fell back asleep. At 6 a.m., his car was still in the drive. A neighbor knocked. No answer. A co-worker arrived. Blood on the door. Police kicked in the back. Inside was a slaughterhouse. Price's skinless body lay in the lounge, his head in a pot on the stove, simmering at 50 degrees Celsius. His skin hung from a meat hook in the doorway, intact except for a rectangle over a scar from Catherine's earlier stab. Two plates sat at the table, place cards each with a child's name, piled with baked vegetables and slices of Price's buttocks, cooked with gravy. A third plate was in the backyard. His body was posed, legs crossed, arm over a soda bottle. A note, bloody and misspelled, accused him of unspeakable crimes against her daughter. The accusations were false. Catherine was comatose beside him, pills scattered. She'd stabbed him 37 times as he slept, chased him through the house as he tried to escape, and dragged him back to finish her work. The skinning was expert, done with her abattoir knives, the ones from above her bed. The trial was a formality. Catherine pleaded not guilty, then guilty, claiming amnesia. Psychiatrists diagnosed borderline personality disorder, but deemed her sane. On November 8, 2001, Justice Barry O'Keefe sentenced her to life without parole, the first woman in Australia to receive it. "The last minutes of his life were abject terror for him," he said, "and utter enjoyment for her." Her appeal failed in 2006. Today, at 70, she's at Silverwater Women's Correctional Center, reportedly a mediator among inmates. No violence on her prison record. Catherine Knight's crime wasn't just murder. It was a masterpiece of malice, planned with the precision of her abattoir days and executed with a hatred that chilled a nation. She stole John Price's life. She robbed his children of any peaceful memory of their father by desecrating his body and trying to serve his remains to them. What kind of monster would do such a thing? John Price's final hours were a betrayal of every trust he'd placed in the woman he loved. Aberdeen still whispers her name, a warning carved into its history. As you drift off tonight, remember, some monsters don't lurk in shadows. Sometimes they sleep beside you. True Crime Sleep Stories is hosted and created by Kelly Brink, produced with the support of our dedicated team. Subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast platform to help us keep telling these haunting tales. Visit patreon.com/Kelly Brink for exclusive content and to join our community. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet you in the shadows next time. Until then, stay safe out there and lock your doors. Good night.